Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear fellow children of God, what is it that you need? Several years ago, I went on a quest to ask this question to my close friends in order to get them to know them better and figure out how best to be a good friend to them. Now, when you hear this question right away, you might perhaps think about the basic necessities of life, like food, water, clothing, shelter. And while I suppose those are proper answers to the question, what I was getting at with my question for them was just a bit deeper. What is it that makes your life whole, that fills in that missing piece? As a result, the answers I got back from them were all pretty deep, too. One friend said, "What I need is satisfaction, the feeling that what he did mattered and made a difference to the people in his life." Another friend said, "Her close relationships, the ability to share things and her life with certain people in a way she wouldn't with just anybody." But there was one other friend, no matter how hard I pushed her, who kept coming back with the same response. "I lack nothing." She was, in effect, quoting the words of Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." That is, I lack nothing. Well, I told her, "Yes, I suppose that's true in a spiritual sense. But what about physically, or emotionally, or interpersonally? There has to be something you need." But she would not change her answer. Dear friends, what is it that you need? What is it that makes your life whole, that fills that missing piece? You don't all have to tell me at once, here and now, but think to yourself. If you're like me, perhaps what you need is an oil change for your car, or maybe even a new car altogether. Maybe what you need is more consistent sleep. Or maybe you need what my friends needed, satisfaction or close relationships to rely on. Or are you like my other friend and can give the honest reply, "I lack nothing"? Well, no matter what your answer is at this point, let's see first how Jesus answers this question for us in our gospel lesson for today, in a step-by-step dialogue he has. Step one, you're someone who's kept the law pretty well your whole life. God has also blessed you with great wealth. So you come to Jesus to get an answer to this question for yourself. What is it I need? Only you phrase it in such a way that betrays a certain misconception. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Step two. Jesus reminds you of that verse from the Old Testament that you know so well, even before listing off the other commandments. "There is no one good except one, God." Well, at first it might have sounded like Jesus had been correcting you for calling him good teacher. Now the full impact of his words becomes clear. Whether you realized it or not, you're describing Jesus as good was spot on. Step three. Okay, granted, no one is perfectly good except God. But what Jesus lists off, you can say honestly you've kept since your youth. In outward dealings with your neighbor, you are as good can be. Is that what it takes to inherit eternal life? Because if so, great. You lack nothing. But Jesus isn't finished. Everything he has said so far has led to the heart of the issue, your inward dealings with God and with the good teacher before you, who is God Himself, and who now says to you, one thing you lack. I see where your heart lies. Sell all you have and come follow me. Lose the blinders of your wealth. What you need is me. That's the fourth and final step in your dialogue with Jesus. But it takes you completely by surprise. Although he says it with such grace, what Jesus is asking is for you to give up what matters most to you, what you have found that you needed most your whole life long, which you have used to get all the other things you need all your life, to make certain you lack nothing. You go away crushed. It's not the answer you expected, and it's not an answer you can accept. It's impossible. You leave in despair. The rich man relied on his keeping of the law to inherit eternal life. But that law could only drive him to despair. That's because the purpose of the law for sinners like us is to show us our sin. It's as we sing in the hymn words, the law is but a mirror bright to bring the inbred sin to light. But by wanting that law to show himself how good he was, the rich man was resisting that crystal clear mirror Jesus put in front of him. Instead, he was like the fool who, after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Yes, when it came to inheriting eternal life through the law, this man thought he lacked nothing. But he couldn't have been more wrong, because the law also shows us our need for a Savior. One thing you lack, Jesus says, and this one thing was everything. When you lack Jesus, you lack everything. Now, we might be tempted to think of the rich man. How could he get it so wrong? He was this close. He had Jesus in the flesh standing right in front of him. Just open your eyes and lose the blinders. But how do we stack up against the rich man? Jesus sees where our heart lies. Is he first in our life, in our thoughts, in our actions? Or do the things you need become what you treasure most? A new car, new stuff, new possessions, more consistent sleep, a feeling of satisfaction, or even the closest relationships you have. You might not have to give up all you have to serve Jesus, but ask yourself honestly, what in your life is nearer and dearer to you than Him? One thing you lack, Jesus says. Only one thing is needful. That one thing is everything. Come follow me, Jesus says. But when that one most important thing to me is anything other than Jesus, it's as if I'm saying to him, no, Jesus, you come. Follow me. Follow after me and my desires, my priorities. You come next. Dear friends, as sinful people who can hardly realize their greatest need half the time, tell me, what possible hope should there be for us to inherit eternal life? There is no one who does good, not even one. Before an all-powerful and all-surpassing God, we have no right to claim eternal life for ourselves. We are utterly needy, sinful people. What must I do to inherit eternal life? You can't do it. You can't fear, love, and trust in God above all things. You can't do what Jesus says you must do to inherit eternal life. You can't do it. Who then can be saved? With man, this is impossible. We lack everything. But then comes step 5. What the rich man didn't wait around to hear, but what you have. With man, this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. Jesus looked at you, following all the wrong things instead of him, and loved you. One thing you lack, he says. Only one thing is needful. That one thing is everything. And he is yours. When you have Jesus, you lack nothing. He is the missing piece to every broken human life, no matter how much we might convince ourselves otherwise, and no matter how much we might try to fill that with. He is the one who meets man's need. And this was the true answer to the rich man's question. Jesus' response is a good one for us to consider too, though. How hard it is for the rich. How hard it is for those who have good things, for those who treasure anything more than Jesus. How hard it is for us, for anyone, to inherit eternal life. Impossible, even. Easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Now, many explanations have been given to explain away the impossibility of this analogy. But that's Jesus' point, isn't it? It is impossible. Salvation is impossible with man, but not with God. This is the work of the faith he creates in us, the miracle work of God with whom all things are possible, who makes the dead alive, who makes the blind to see, who calls the things that are not as though they were, who speaks into existence that which did not even exist. A right relationship between you and God. So a camel going through the eye of a needle, no problem for God. The rich entering the kingdom of heaven, no problem for God. Saving you and me, no problem for God. He has done the impossible by giving his Son on the cross to die for our sins and win our salvation. He has done the impossible by sending his Spirit into your hearts so that you might believe and live for him. He has done the impossible by making you and me his dear children. Children. In Mark's gospel, telling this same account, he adds one little detail. Jesus calls his disciples children. And why do you think here, of all places, he might do that? What I thought at first was, how demeaning. But then I remembered the verses that come just before this section. Whoever will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. You see, rich people earn. They purchase. They provide for their own needs from their own means. But not children. Children receive. And when it comes to salvation, this is the only proper stance before God to inherit eternal life. This is hearing Jesus' call and following him in faith. And this empowers us to follow in how we live. What this means is all the vain things that charm us most, all my possessions, all my priorities, all the uses of my time, and all the desires of my heart that threaten to crowd him out of my life. we sacrifice them. We do whatever it takes to make Him the most important thing to us, simply because you are the most important thing to Him. And that is the truest thing about you. So even when needs arise, even when riches fly away, when your health fails, when loved ones leave you or leave this world before you, even when you can find no satisfaction, no peace, no rest, no love, even if you are left with nothing in this world at all, still you will have all that you need. Still you will lack nothing. Still our God will meet all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. That's what it means to say, I lack nothing. It's to say that you truly need nothing else this world can give, that you can live your life for Him alone, and that you could die at this moment with no regrets. And by God's grace, that is exactly what you believe. So, dear friends, you and the rich man share a common need. But by God's grace, you don't share the same ending to your story. The rich man went away sad. It wasn't the answer he was expecting, and it wasn't something he could accept. But not so with us. We know we lack everything on our own. But that is a place you live in no longer. Instead, you are always with God, and God is always with you. With Him, you lack nothing. What is impossible with us is not only possible, but exactly what God has done. A gift given to us. A gift greater than all other gifts. Truly, we can say, we can believe, and we can live with every second of our lives that beautiful truth, which my friend and yours has taught us to say. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Amen.